Praise the Lord. Thank you for all the good special singing today. I want you to take your Bible if you have Mark chapter 2, and if you'll just hold your place there, I wanted to get you to turn to a couple of scriptures. We're going to look at a few thoughts from this account, and it's mentioned in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So Matthew chapter 9, if you'll just turn there. Now stay right here at Mark, but turn to Matthew 9, put you a holder or some type of marker there. And then Luke chapter 5, okay? These are the three accounts of the scripture. I want to talk to you about, well, never giving up. Just never give up. Amen. Amen. A lot of people giving up. I pray to God you don't give up. I pray to God that I wouldn't give up. Amen. There's a lot of folks that are dropping out. Don't you drop out. There's something worth, or someone really, worth staying in the race for. Amen. Amen. And I want you to stay in the race. I want you to finish strong. I want you to do what God would have you to do. And so I want you to notice with me in this account of the scripture some things that, as we left off last week, we were talking out of Matthew chapter number 11, how that Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." He said, "I'll give you rest." He said, "Take my yoke upon you." And then he said this, "Learn of me." And that's what we want to do. We want to learn more about Jesus. Amen. And so we're just going to take some Sunday mornings and we're going to just learn more and more about Jesus. The first thing that I want to learn about Jesus from this passage of Scripture, there's many things in this passage of Scripture that we can learn about Jesus. But there's one that stands out above all the rest. Jesus has the power to forgive sins. Where would we be if Jesus did not have the power to forgive sins? Brethren, we'd all be lost in our sin. We'd be headed straight toward, we'd bust hell wide open. But I'm glad that Jesus hath the power to forgive sins. Amen. Jesus can deal with the sin problem. Jesus has dealt with the sin problem. And he has victoriously lived and died and was buried and rose again from the grave. Because he dealt sufficiently with the sin problem. Now, I want you to notice something that the Lord Jesus said, just in the event that there may be someone here or watching by live stream that would say, "Well, you know, I have all kinds of time, preacher. I'm going to wait and live my life the way I want to live it. Then when I get before God in heaven, then God's going to give me one more chance." I want you to notice what Jesus said now. Jesus himself made this statement in verse number 10. He told those Pharisees and scribes that were sitting there observing, he made this statement in verse 10. He said, "But you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." This is your final opportunity. Amen. You leave here without your sins forgiven, and the Bible says in the book of the Revelation, "Let him that is filthy be filthy still." You'll die in your sin and you'll go to hell. Now, God doesn't want that. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I don't want that. And truth being known, you don't want that. But now, if you leave here without your sin forgiven, your sin will never be forgiven. So Jesus made it very clear to these religious teachers. Jesus has the power on earth. Isn't that what he said? Look at it one more time in verse number 10. "But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth." Specifically made it known, because this is your only opportunity, all right? And I pray to God you won't miss out on it. Now let's back up and go through this passage of Scripture, and I think that there's some truths here that's going to help us to understand some things. Number one, I want you to notice the circumstances that are surrounding this situation. Verse number one, "And again, he entered into Capernaum." I don't know what you know about Capernaum, but it's a wonderful study in the Word of God. 11 miracles did Jesus in Capernaum. 11. As a matter of fact, this was the one, if you'll remember, this city Jesus claimed as his own. See, he was born in Bethlehem. He lived a while with his parents in Nazareth. But when he began his earthly ministry, he made Capernaum his own. You can read that in Matthew chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. This was the place where he kind of networked out of in his earthly ministry. Many people believe that not only did he network out of there in his earthly ministry, but that he had a house there, but it wasn't his house, it was Peter's house. If you'll notice back in chapter 1 and verse number 28, the Bible says this. Let's look at verse 29. Mark chapter 1, verse 29. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now that was Jesus with Simon and Andrew. You see that in chapter 1? Simon and Andrew, who were brothers, and James and John, they were all workers together in a fishing business. And they went there after church, right? They was in the synagogue, and after the synagogue was over, they went to Peter's house. Well, Peter's mother-in-law was sick. And you know what the Lord did? The Lord healed her. Amen. And Peter was thankful that Jesus oftentimes spent time with him there. And I believe this with all of my heart, brethren. If you will allow Jesus to spend time in your home will be different.
Amen.
Does Jesus live at your house? Is that a preacher? I'm in church. But the question was not, are you in church? Well, I read my Bible. That's not the question. The question is, does Jesus live in your house? Is he welcome there? Does he feel at home there? Does the programming that we allow in our homes, does the reading material, the conversation that we have, is it becoming that Jesus would be welcomed in our home? I pray that it is. I pray that it is. Notice, if you would, what it says there in verse number, chapter 2, verse 1. We're talking about circumstances. So he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. That means the word got out. Jesus is in town. Amen. I mean, the word got out. I have to show you this over in Mark chapter number 5. So hold your place here and turn to Mark 5. And it's going to take a while just to navigate through some of these, but I want you to see something. So the word got out. I'm giving you some background. So the word got out that Jesus was in town, and wouldn't you know it, the Pharisees, look in Luke chapter 5, look at verse 17. The Bible says, and it came to pass on a certain day that as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. I mean, the word had gotten out, and I mean, it spread that Jesus was in the house. And the scripture says that they were people coming from these towns around because they knew that this man was different. Can I tell you, Jesus is different, brethren. Jesus is different. He's a difference maker too. Now we're going to come back to this phrase, but I don't want you to miss this. See, these people thought they were coming. They thought they were coming in Luke chapter 5. When you read this, these people thought that they were coming to observe and to hear and to find error and mistake in Jesus. How would you like to have that job? Finding a mistake in absolute perfection. You're talking about frustrating work. But I want you to notice the way verse 17 ends. Don't lose sight of this. Verse 17, the last phrase there says this. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. I'm glad Jesus is compassionate. Jesus knew why these people were there. He knew they were there to pick and to find fault and to disrupt and to look down their nose at him and ask, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Who is this man? As a matter of fact, when Jesus did the miracle, they began to say, this man speaketh blasphemies. Who can forgive sin but God alone? And so the scripture says, and we'll come back to that thought, the last part of verse 17 says, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Can I tell you, I don't know why you're here today. I don't know why those that have tuned in. I know this. I know the power of the Lord is present to meet your need. There is that. You say, well, you don't even know what my need is, preacher. Don't need to know what your need is. I know Jesus. I know Jesus is able to meet any need that any man has, amen, anytime, anywhere.
Amen.
Jesus, listen, there is nothing that Jesus cannot do.
Right.
If I didn't have that confidence in Christ, I'd quit.
Right.
I'd sit down. But I know that Jesus is able to meet the needs of the people.
Amen.
And he's able to meet your need. He loves you. He cares about you. He wants to do something in your life. He wanted to do something in the lives of these religious people that day. But they would not open their hearts to him. They would not allow him to do a work in their life. You see, where faith is present, Jesus can work. But where there is no faith, the Bible says that he did no more mighty works in this town. You can read it, Matthew 13:58. I hope you'll write it down. He can no longer do any more mighty works here because people hardened their hearts and said, Jesus can't do it. You say, now, preacher, I would never do that. Well, I hope you wouldn't. But as we shall see here in just a moment, there are some people that will stop at nothing to get the work of God done. See, those are the people that believe Jesus can still do great miracles. I wonder what it would take to stop you. I wonder what it has taken to stop you. There are some people who have quit serving God. There are some people given up, dropped out, quit. No, listen, absolutely no vigor, no purpose, no passion, no faith, no nothing. Just kind of going through the motions. You're tired. You're worn down. You're beaten. You're battered. And you need some energy. You need some passion. You need some vigor in your life again. Why? You've lost your faith. You've lost your faith. I don't mean you're not saved anymore. I mean that you've just about come to the place of where the world has defeated you and you're beginning to question what Jesus can do. Brethren, when you believe like these men we're going to study this morning, you're going to have a fire in your bones that nothing can put out. Amen. They would not stop. The way was blocked and they would not stop. There were people that had the front row seats and they didn't even have a seat in the house. But they would not stop. I'm here to tell you this morning, brethren, we can't stop. Madison County needs Fellowship Baptist Church. Don't even realize it. But they need Fellowship Baptist Church. They need the message that we have. Your neighbors need the message that you have. Your co-workers need the message that you have. There's a world in darkness out here that needs the light that we bear, brethren. The light that we bear as believers. And don't you give up on God. Don't you give up on what Jesus can do. Fight. Move forward. Amen. Notice again in verse number 2, it says it was noise that he was in the house. I wonder if you're telling people, listen, there's great things happening in our lives. There's great things happening at our church. There's great things happening in the ministry. There's great things happening in the kingdom. People are so engrossed and enthralled about what's going on in the world around us. I'm not opposed. I think you ought to keep up with current events, but I am more interested in what's going on in God's kingdom than this world. He said in verse number 3, and straightway many, you see that verse number 2? And straightway many were gathered together. How many, preacher? He tells us, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. Amen. What's that mean? That means they were overflowing, they were out the door. Probably standing outside the house because they wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. Can I tell you, there's a lot of people that really want to hear what Jesus has to say. I don't want people to hear what I've got to say. Brethren, I have no message in myself. You have no message. We have nothing we can offer this sin-cursed world. But we sure do have a Savior that does. We have a word from God that will change the lives of any individual that will come to Him by faith. I'm so glad that the Word of God found its way into my life. Aren't you glad that somebody brought you the Word of God? It's the only hope, brethren. It's the only hope. Say, preacher, I believe we could just bear this situation for about 3.5 more years if we can just wait to get this administration out and we can get another good administration in. We'll turn it around. Hey, Washington is not going to turn anything around. What we need is Spirit-filled, born-again believers taking forth the bloodstained banner and saying, Jesus saves, amen. Jesus is what this world needs. Jesus. And that preacher, don't get excited. That's our problem. We've lost our passion. We've lost our fire. We've given up. We act like Jesus has quit and can't save and can't change people. I'm here to tell you, Jesus can change people.
Amen.
Look, if you would, in verse number 2, the latter part of that, we're still talking about circumstances. What was Jesus doing? What Jesus always does. He was preaching the word. Look at it. You say, I came to church for a miracle. You need a message. It's what you need. I came to church for some entertainment. What you need is some edification, some exhortation. Amen. Look at what he said here, verse number 2. He preached the word unto them. Isn't that something? Look at verse 3. And they came unto him bringing. I have that underlined in my Bible. Bringing. They come unto him bringing one sick of the palsy. which was born afore. We're going to move now from circumstances to some carriers. I want you to notice some things about these four men that's just extraordinary. It's extraordinary. These four men is what every believer ought to be. So what were their names? Don't know. They wasn't doing it for recognition. Amen? Amen. Well, if we could quit doing things for recognition to get a pen or to get our name on something, right? This is not what serving God's about. Serving God's not about a pen or getting a check or your name mentioned in a periodical. Serving God's about loving Jesus, having compassion on other people. These men didn't do what they did so that they could get an attaboy or a pat on the back. They didn't even get recognized. They're just called those four, right? They're called four of them. That's about as personal as it gets. Four of them. They had compassion. What is compassion? Do you have compassion? I've told you this before. Dr. Ron Comfort said, compassion is your pain in my heart. When you look at people that are hurting, do you feel anything? Brethren, there's a world out here that's hurting. There's people in our circles that are hurting. Do you feel anything from that hurt? Do I? I just don't want to go through life checking boxes, going through the motions. I want to be affected by the people that God puts in the pathway of my life, and I believe you do too. It's very important. Compassion. Your pain in my heart. You know what we are as Christians? I heard one of the greatest definitions I've heard of compassion this past week. Compassion is one beggar telling another beggar where the bread's at. Amen. 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 Say, preacher, I'm somebody. You are what you are by the grace of God. Amen. Everything you have, God gave you. You say, I don't believe that. Doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. It's a fact. Amen. We're just old beggars that know where the bread's at. We need to get to telling some other beggars where the bread's at. Amen. That's what these four men. You'll never convince me that these four men had not been at the feet of Jesus at one point in their life. And they just have this outlook. If we could just get them at the feet of Jesus. If we could just get them at the feet of Jesus. He'll make a difference in his life. But preacher, he's paralyzed. Notice what the Bible says over and over again. Don't you think now that Mark didn't want us to know this is a very sick man we're dealing with here. Look if you would in verse number 3. They come unto him bringing one sick of the palsy. You see that? Look at verse number 4. Wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Verse number 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy. Verse number 9. Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy? Verse number 10, the last part. He said to the sick of the palsy. I mean, you reckon he's sick? What's happening here? The Word of God wants to know, this is a very sick man right here. You know what the palsy is? It's what we call today paralysis. He was paralyzed. Okay? No function, no motor skills. He couldn't get to Jesus on his own. You say, well, I did. No one's ever got to Jesus on their own.
Amen.
No one's ever got to Jesus on their own. Aren't you glad that God uses people to get people to Jesus?
Amen.
And here was four men that would not give up, brethren. They had compassion. They had compassion. They had creed. What do you mean? I mean they had a body of belief. That's what a creed is. It's a body of belief. It's a faith that if we could just get this man to Jesus. You know, listen, I'm not interested in getting people involved in government programs. I'm not. You say, well, now, wait a minute, preacher. We ought to. I'm not. I'm not interested in physicians, psychologists. I'm not saying some folks don't need them. Don't you misunderstand me. But when it comes to dealing with sin, we need to get them to the feet of Jesus, amen. Get them to Jesus. That was their mindset. I wonder what your mindset is. If we just get them to church. The only way you're going to get them to church is if you can get them to Jesus at the church.
Amen.
The church's not going to help anybody without Jesus, brethren.
Right.
Listen to me now. We could just get them to the preacher. Preacher's not going to help anybody without Jesus.
Amen.
If we could just get them to religion. Religion's never helped anybody. It's Jesus, brethren. It's Jesus. We've got to get them to Jesus. Well, I'm going to give them an invitation to church. I'm glad about that. But now let's make sure Jesus is in the house. Don't just be giving people invitations to the church. Get on your face before God and say, God, show up. Amen. God, show up. If Jesus doesn't show up, there's going to be very little done. And so he said here, these carriers, first of all, had compassion. They were selfless. They made sacrifices. They had creed. They had capabilities. I like this. These men came, if you'll notice, in verse number 4, it says, and when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. You see that? I mean, that's bold, brethren. That's bold. This was not even their house. In your mind, put yourself in this picture. You're at church. You're in somebody's house, and Jesus is preaching the word, amen. And all of a sudden, you start hearing something up above you. Maybe some fragments falling on the floor, and you're thinking, what's going on up there? Listen, Jesus knew where they were. He knew they were coming that day. It didn't bother him. He kept right on preaching the word, amen. It'd probably affect me and you. He just kept right on teaching. They started breaking up that tile. Now, I'm not talking about a little old hole, brother. They had to get a body through there. You listening to me? They had to get a whole body. On a bed. A gurney. Through the roof. That's a big hole. It is. Didn't stop them any. Didn't stop them. All the seats were taken. Well, I'm not going to go back to church. All the seats were taken. Didn't stop them. Hard to find a parking place. Didn't stop them. Right? Didn't get a front row seat. Didn't stop them. I couldn't hear the preacher. Didn't stop them. They was on a mission. They had to get this man to Jesus, brethren. Amen. Amen. That ought to be our mission. They said, we're not going to stop until we fulfill our mission. Don't you stop until you fulfill your mission. Don't stop. What's God called you to do? I know something that God's called us all to do, and we need to get busy doing it, or stay busy if you are busy. Amen. So he said here, we have circumstances. We have some carriers. I want to show you some things about these carriers. Compassion, their capabilities, their creed. Look, if you would, at their commitment. The Bible says in verse 4, it says, they came bringing one. You know the way a lot of Baptists pray? You say, well, you pick on Baptists a lot. That's because I'm a Baptist. I can pick on me. If we're not careful, we'll use this as an out. Well, we're going to pray about it. We're going to pray about it. Can I tell you, God doesn't want you praying about should you witness to somebody or not? God doesn't want you praying about doing right. Just do right. There's no need praying about something God's commanded. Amen. God's commanded these things, brethren. We need some folks fired up for Jesus, amen. Amen. Sit around and complain about the condition of the world if you're not fired up for the Lord. Amen. Amen. What's it mean to you? Obviously, it means something. You're at the house of God. Praise the Lord. But brother, I'm telling you, this thing's it's going downhill quick. These men had a commitment and a resolve that's not equaled in our day. So they tried and it didn't work their way. Then what do? Well, it must not have been meant to be. I don't think so. That cannot be our attitude. Well, I guess it's just not this man's day, right? It's just not your day, buddy. We can't get you in there. No. These four men worked together. Imagine that, four men working together. We can't even, listen, we've got to work together if we're going to make a difference. That's what bothers me about people saying, I think I'm just going to watch it from home. You don't need to watch anything from home. You need to get down to the house of God so you can work with the team and let's get this job done for Jesus. Amen?
That's right.
Amen. 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 We're losing ground because we're not doing it God's way. I mean as a whole. We've got to get back to doing it the Bible way, brethren. The Bible way. These men work together. We're working together. We're a team. You need to plug into a team, amen. Say amen with me. A team. Serve God together. What if one of these men would have said, I'm going to take that man. I don't need you three. I'm going to get this man to Jesus. I don't think that would have worked out too well. Even two of them. It took them, four of them, working together. They had to work in harmony. They had to work in unison. They had to work together to get this job done. It's taken us working together. We should work together to get the job of God done. And we do. I thank God for that. You say, what are these flags? What's that mean, preacher? It means we're working together with people all around the world to get the gospel out. That's what it means. That's what it means. That we don't think, well, we've got it. We don't need other people. No, we need these folks. We need these folks to carry the gospel. Amen. Yes. Why? Because they have some paralyzed folks over in Brazil, too. They have some paralyzed folks over in Uganda, too. Right? They're paralyzed everywhere, brethren. Somebody's going to have to get them to Jesus. That's our place. As a matter of fact, as we narrow this down now and bring this to a close, I want you to notice that these men worked together. They would not be stopped. They went up and they said, you know what? We'll pay the price. We'll pay the price. Tear the roof off. Tear the roof off. Amen. You willing to pay the price? It's easy to say yes. But your conviction is not in what you say. Your conviction and my conviction is in what we do. The Bible says here in verse number 4, the latter part, it said, when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay, and when Jesus saw their faith. Now, some people say, well, you know, that was the four men. I believe it was, but I believe it was his faith too. I don't think this man was saying, don't take me, don't take me, don't take me. This man wanted healed. Amen. Amen. Say, well, my faith can get somebody saved. Well, your faith can contribute in that. But you don't get to heaven on someone else's faith. Somebody say amen with me now. You say, this man went to heaven? Well, let's just see. Let's see what happened. So when Jesus saw their faith, you see that? I wonder if he's seeing our faith. Right? You give so that other people can tell? That's faith. That's why it's called faith promise. Right? Some people are going so other people can hear. That's faith. That's how we work together as a team. Yes. And so the Bible says here in verse number 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, I told you to turn to Matthew because I want you to, Matthew 9, hold your place here. I want you to see what Jesus said to this man in Matthew 9 before. He actually did say, son, thy sins be forgiven thee, as Mark recorded. But Matthew adds something that I want you to notice with me. Jesus said, I want you to be of good cheer. I have this situation in total control. That's what he told the man. Look in Matthew 9, if you would. Matthew chapter 9, the Bible says in verse number 2, it says, and behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on the bed, and Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer. Amen. I'm going to give you something that you can be happy about. I'm going to forgive your sin. Are you happy about that? Amen, preacher. Oh, I can tell. Man, the meter shot out the roof on that one. You happy? See, you can forget where Jesus found you if you're not careful now. You can forget. Now, what happens when we forget where Jesus found us? We may not be willing to crawl up the side of buildings with a gurney in our hand to let someone down at the feet of Jesus. See, when we forget where Jesus found us, we'll forget the condition that he found us in. And we'll look at other people and we won't realize that person right there needs some help in a bad way.
Right.
You listening? Are you still excited about where Jesus found you? Are you so excited it'll cause you to climb the side of a building with a gurney, tear up a roof, and let him down saying, this man needs what I've got. This man needs what I have. Amen?
Amen.
This man needs what I have. Oh, if this man could just get before the one I got before. If this man could just get before him like I got before him, it'll make all the difference in his life.
Amen.
Do you really believe that? Brethren, that right there is what changes the world. See, that's what the apostles believed. They believed that this Jesus that they preached had the answers. The Bible says they turned the world upside down, amen, for Jesus. Why? Because they said if we can just get people to Jesus, he'll make the difference in their life. So the Bible says, Jesus said here in verse number 3, son, he said, be of good cheer, and I want you to watch this. Take up thy bed and walk. That's not what he said. Right? He said, because what good is it going to be for you to be physically whole if you still are in your sins? Right? You with me? As we go back and close in Mark chapter 2, you with me? He said, son, be of good cheer. He did not say, at this time, take up thy bed and walk. He did not say at this time that. He said, thy sins be forgiven thee. Which implies that the man had a problem because of sin. And he said, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to forgive you of your sins, and it's going to empower you to do what you need to do now that your sin's forgiven. See, sin locks people down, brethren. Hear me now. Sin destroys lives. Sin divides homes. Sin will take you down, down, down. And don't you forget it. Oh, now, preacher, sin, I can dabble around with it and sin won't affect me. Sin will take you down. You are no match for sin. Only Jesus can deal with sin. I'll just sin a little bit and it'll lead to more sin. I'll just sin a little. That's feeding the beast. Listen to the preacher this morning. That's feeding the beast. I'll just do a little bit. That's feeding the beast. I'll just dabble, preacher. I'll just dabble. I won't get involved. You're feeding the beast. Sin is a terrible thing. Run from it. Amen. Flee from it. Get away from it. Say, preacher, I can handle it. Oh, listen, the devil's already got you. I can handle sin, preacher. Oh, no, you can't. There's never been anyone able to handle sin. The only remedy for sin is Jesus. The Bible says here that Jesus, and we're back in Mark chapter 2, the Bible says that Jesus, when he saw their fate, he said unto the sick of the palsy in verse number 5, son, and Matthew said, he said, be of good cheer, and then he said this, he said, thy sin be forgiven thee. Now that's something to have some excitement about. I'm excited that my sins are forgiven, brethren. I'm excited. I have all kinds of aches and pains. Now I'm getting older and I have aches and pains. I'm finding out what some of these elderly folks told me was going to happen. And I'm telling you right now, you better listen to them. It happens. Hey, man, it happens. But listen, though the outward man perisheth, thank God this inward man is renewed day by day. I still have the joy of the Lord in my heart. I'm still so thankful that I'm washed in the blood of Jesus, saved in the grace of God, a home prayer for me in heaven. And I want to fight until Jesus takes me out of here. Amen.
Amen.
He said, thy sins, in verse number 5, he said, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man, verse 7, thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? He was trying to show them, I am God. They wouldn't receive it. I could say much there, but I'm going to move on. And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your heart? Now I want you to watch what Jesus does for these people. He said, I want to ask you something. Whether is it easy? Now watch verse 9. Don't miss this. Whether is it easier to say, not to do? Did you underline that word? He said, whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk. Now, he didn't say do. He said say. What's he saying? He said, what's easier? To say thy sins be forgiven thee, or arise and take up thy bed and walk? Which is easier to say? You know which is easier. Thy sins be forgiven thee. It's easier to say. Why? I can't see in that man's heart if his sins have been forgiven. Whereas if I say take up thy bed and walk, I'm looking for some evidence. Amen. Right? You see what Jesus just did? He said, as long as you're thinking and reasoning among yourselves, think about this. Why do you think I said what I said? There's a steep price to pay to forgive sin. But you will see the evidence of forgiven sin if you'll just wait. That's what he's getting ready to show here. And so this will be our final thought. Has Jesus forgiven your sin? If he has, you can say it all you want. Listen to me now. There's people running around here saying, I'm forgiven, I'm forgiven. Well, if your life doesn't show it, you might ought to check up on that. This is what Jesus said. Now, not the preacher. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. Look at it again in verse number 9. He said, whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to arise and take up thy bed and walk? He said, but that you may know. All right? That you may know and can see the evidence that you came here looking for. All right? Is this what Jesus is doing? See, Jesus is compassionate this way. And he says, so that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sin. Then he said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. Now, what do you think would have happened if those four men would have said, praise God, I knew if we got him here, and they picked him up and run out with him? Yeah, Jesus did it today. Huh? He left the way he came. Hey, I'm here to tell you, when you get your sins forgiven, you're not going to leave the way you came. Are you hearing me? You see what God is trying to teach us here? Hey, when Jesus does something in your life changes. Amen. If you walk out the way you walked in, listen, he was brought in, but thank God he walked out. Amen. Are you listening to me? The bed brought him in, but he took the bed out with him. Amen. Amen. I like that. Amen. He came in on the bed, but he walked in with it on his back. He came in with his back on the bed, but he walked out with the bed on his back. Somebody say amen with me. Amen. Amen. That's the difference that Jesus makes. Amen. He said, arise. Get up. That's right. Look what he said. Go. I tell you, when Jesus, walk. Look at these action words. I tell you, when Jesus does something in your life, Jesus puts some action in you, amen. Arise. Don't just lay there. Don't just sit there. Hey, there's a work to do. We're in a battle. We're in a war. Arise. Get up. Go to war. Fight the fight. Amen. Arise, he said. Then he said in verse number 11, and take up thy bed. He said, you're not going to be laying on that anymore. You won't need that for this purpose anymore. I need that to be a testimony. That was a testimony that you were sick, now I'm going to use it to show a testimony that you're healed. Amen. Amen. Yeah. That you used to do with that bed, now you're doing something different. And thank God that's going to be the evidence that there's a difference in your life. That's right. Then he said, I want you to go into all the world and tell everybody what I've done for you. No, he said, I want you to go home. Because if your faith doesn't work in the living room, it's not going to work overseas. Isn't that what he said? He said, I want you to go to your house. But now how did he say to get there? Walk. Is that what he said? Is it, brother? He said, walk. Could you imagine? Let's stand to our feet. Could you imagine as we stand? I'm just saying what some people are looking for. You know, Some people, they God does something in their life and they get brought in on a gurney. And then they say, hey, fetch my beast. I want to ride away. That's not what God's looking for. God's not looking for that. God wants you to show evidence that he's done something in your life. Right? Yes. This man had a need. He couldn't walk. Had they carried him out or put him on a beast, God said, I don't want that. I want you to show full proof of what I've done in your life. God wants me to show that, brethren. God wants you to show that. What are you showing a world out there that God's done different in your life? Show them. They need to see it, brethren. They need to see it. If you'll read that very carefully, it says, they all knew, all of them. When that man got up and took up his bed and walked out, they all knew, we've never seen it like this before. This is different. Amen. Well, I tell you, the churches, if we could just get back to the place where we realize the importance of living daily, daily for Jesus, every day, not just Sundays, okay? Not just come to church. Thank God for church. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad to be in church. I love church. Listen, I have some addiction problems. I'm addicted to church. Amen. I love church. But it's not about church. People need to see you living for Jesus on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. That's right. Thursday, Friday. They need to see the difference that Jesus made. Let's bow our heads. Jesus, forgive your sin. He can. I wonder, have you allowed him to forgive you? And if he has, I wonder if you're showing that in your daily living. You're showing it in your daily life. Jesus has forgiven my sin, and it's made a difference in my life. I no longer am the way I used to be. Now, it doesn't mean you're perfect. Thank God he's still working on us. Amen? He's still working on us. But it does mean you're different. It's bringing change. Jesus is molding and making you into what he would have you to be.